So hopefully that's okay. Can everybody see me fine? I know I'm short, so that's a detriment. You have your sheet, and the title of that sheet, that's been titled on purpose: Restoring My Relationship with God. Why? God's original purpose for mankind in the Garden of Eden was so that he can have a relationship with mankind. And we're going to see that in what we do this evening. One thing I need to, there was something that I needed to share with you last week, and I believe God had me save it for this week, and that is this. I was probably 9, maybe 10 years old. I was riding with my dad in the streets of Mexico, Veracruz, Mexico. And back in that time, in the city that we lived in, a city of over 1 million people, at that time, we were the only Americans that lived in that city. Everyone knew who we were. Everyone recognized our truck. And it was the only truck like it in the entire city. If you were to go down there, it's not the Mexico that I grew up in. Totally different. But at that time, we were the only Americans there, and they all knew who we were. I remember my dad driving down one of those dirt streets, just sand streets, and there was a drunk man that was staggering down the road, and he saw the truck, and he said, "Hermano, brother," and that's the greeting, typical greeting for my dad. They knew he was a missionary. They knew he was a missionary pastor. They knew that he told people about God. And he said, "Hermano." So my dad stopped the truck. We were in a hurry. We're on our way somewhere. I don't know if your dad used to do this. We used to have, when we didn't have as many automatic vehicles, we had the stick shift with the clutch. And he would do the, and it was like that kind of lets somebody know, hey, I'm in a hurry, I got to get going, you know. And so the truck's doing this, right? And he staggers up to the window, you know, and he says, "Hermano Donaldo, brother Don," he says, "necesito ser salvo." I need to be saved. Now, he was obviously drunk. And I know what's going through your mind, which is the same thing that was going through our mind. And what we would normally tell somebody that was in that state, we would say, "Listen, I need you." And we told them, because we had this happen many times. It was common. In that country, cheap liquor is cheaper than water. And so you can buy it. They send their little kids to the store, to the corner to buy it. It's everywhere. So they're always drinking. And, "Hermano, I need to be saved." He had obviously visited before, he'd heard he needed to be saved. My dad said, "Listen, this is what I need you to do. I need you to go home, sober up, sleep it off, and then we'll see you tomorrow night at church." "Sí, hermano, sí, hermano." And we pulled off. And the next day, he died. And I'll never forget my dad speaking to me about that and how that he would have never let that happen again. Now, you're saying what we were thinking. He's drunk. Okay. He was fully aware of the fact that he needed to be saved. Some people that drink all the time, you and I both know, based on experiences that we've had, not necessarily ourselves, but in dealing with others, there's folks that they drink every day, and that's normal for them, and that's how they operate. That's how they function. So I say that. Now, I'll not get into a discussion with you about whether or not he should have stopped right there and led him to Christ. I'll not do that. And we can't go back and redo anything. We know that. And I would never take the place to tell you what you should do in that case. All I'm telling you is what happened and how we felt and how that missed opportunity and how that we couldn't get over the fact, the overwhelming fact that that might have been his moment. And I know, based on what I read in Scripture, that later on, when we get to heaven, there could possibly be a way that we recognize this individual when his name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life as he's cast into the lake of fire. So I just wanted to share that with you. Someone just before the service tonight shared with me a moment that they had this week. Was it today? Today. And how that the Holy Spirit worked in their heart and they become aware of the fact. And it literally happens to us, and it was in the craziest circumstance that you'd have ever thought. It wasn't in a normal everyday interaction, right? But yet it was a moment. It was a moment. And that's all that we have to do is just be aware of those moments, okay? So getting into tonight. Now, we've had the moment, the Holy Spirit's worked, we've developed a friendship or some kind of interaction with someone. And what I typically do, I'm not saying you have to do this, but this has worked really well for me. I'll typically set up, I call it a salvation appointment. I don't tell them that. It's something that I keep to myself. I set up a salvation appointment, and I usually, and in my case, it was my wife, my lovely wife back there, Carmen. She would stay home, and or she would be beside me or wherever it was, and she would pray. I always had somebody praying. We have a group text for our family, all of our kids, and our outlaws that are married to our kids. And so we text them. Before I went to any salvation appointment, I had a group of people praying for me before I went. And so I could go confidently, not cocky, but confidently to my salvation appointment. Knowing this, and by faith, praying this, by faith, thanking God for them being saved. Why? I know God wants everyone to be saved. Amen? I know that He made a way for everyone to be saved. So why not? Why not? So it's a whole different approach. No longer am I going into this thing, well, I'll probably slam the door in my face again. You know, I'm not thinking that anymore. Why? Because by this point, I know that the Holy Spirit went ahead of me and has already worked in their heart. This is somebody I've developed. And it doesn't matter, like I said last week, it doesn't matter how intense or how deep of a friendship or a relationship you have this with this individual. I'm talking about your barista, you know, the one that makes your coffee. I'm talking about the one that you see at the grocery store and you like checking out through that lane because they're faster than the rest of them. And, or, you know, anything. The person that you go and take your car to get it fixed. Or maybe you pay a bill. There's a bill that you pay every month. And it's the same person, the same, you know, maybe you rent a place like a storage box and you go in there and you pay your rent. Whoever it is, whatever interaction you have, however, whatever level of interaction you have with this individual, then you've developed that friendship and the Holy Spirit has already gone ahead and said, that's the one. So you set up a salvation appointment. Or it could be said, hey, somebody is not doing well and they need to talk to somebody about Christ. They're just unsure. And you're like, man, I'd love to be able to talk. Can you set that up for me? And that's what I do. I'll tell the people from the church that I'm discipling that they haven't reached that level yet where they feel comfortable enough. You set up the appointment, I'll be there. I've had people do that numerous times. And I'll show up cold turkey. I mentioned last week the guy that I went in and spoke to, and that you got one shot, you got one pass, only one person back. I'd never met him before in my life. It was minutes, literally 20 minutes before they were going to do that procedure on him. And then he gets saved, and less than 24 hours, he's gone. Okay? So when it comes to salvation, you do everything that you can within your ability and power. You drop everything you can because you never know when the last time it is that you can speak to this individual. So I've already set up that appointment and I show up for that appointment and I start out like this. And I don't waste a lot of time with them because I'm going to take time with them in explaining the gospel. And I gave you a sheet, and literally I sat down and I just kind of thought through. Now, this is probably not verbatim what I would do, and it may change from time to time, depending on the individual, the circumstances, the Holy Spirit at the moment. He may give me a verse that's not on here. So this is by no means a script that you have to follow. This is an option for you, okay? Many of you already have verses that you use, but here's something that God gave me that has proven to work with many people, both in Mexico and here in the States. So I'll sit down, I say, unless you've known me for years, anything that I might share with you, you may or may not believe or trust is verifiable or true. Because think about that. They don't know you. They may know you a little bit. They weigh high every now and again. Or they have a casual knowledge of who you are. And so I say it may very well just be my opinion. You don't know. However, one thing we both can agree on as not being man's opinion or part of a religious belief system, because boy do we know that's a thing. How many stripes and kinds of churches are there in this general area, in the Tri-City area? Whew, oh my soul. And everyone's got a different approach, right? So we know, we both can agree on something that's not man's opinion or part of a religious belief system, and that is this right here. And even the individual that is not churched, that is so far from God, they wouldn't know where to begin to find him. They know what this is. They know this is a Bible. And they know, even your most devout Catholic, they revere this book right here, the Bible. And we know it's not just a book. It's the Word of God. They revere it. And so they'll tell you, the Bible. And they'll nod, yes, the Bible. And I'll tell them at least 40 different men, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in a span of 1,600 years, wrote the blessed Word of God as if only one individual wrote it. And that's because only one individual wrote it. And that is God. I'll tell them, sometimes laughingly, I'll say, man, we can't hardly play, what's that game, telephone? I'm dating myself, but back when we were kids, you used to play a game called telephone. And you start out in a group of about 5 to 10 people, and on one end, you would whisper in someone's ear a statement, right? And then that person has to whisper into the next person's ear that same statement. And literally, by the time you get... And it happens in 5 people, but for sure in 10 people, the statement has changed totally. It's not the same. If that happens in a matter of a couple minutes, what would you think would happen with humans dealing with something to be transferred from generation to generation? It's not possible. And yet, here we are with the Holy Word of God, inspired, perfect Word of God. And that can only be done through the Holy Spirit. So I'll tell them it's without contradictions or errors, and it has been proven historically, prophetically, humanly, and spiritually to be the inspired Word of God. Most will agree. And if you've got somebody that's combative at this point, then it's probably not the right time to be speaking to them at this level. Okay? There's a lot more that needs to happen, but usually they'll be ready. So I'll ask them this. Anything, and I'll tell them, I said, everything that we will be looking at will come directly from this book right here. And that way you can trust that what I'm sharing with you is not opinion. Is not opinion. That takes away a lot. Because they're automatically going to think that you're sharing what your church believes, or what your religion believes, or what the Baptists believe. We're taking all that aside. We want them to know that this comes directly from God. I'll ask them, why did God make man? And I'll take them to Genesis. And we can go there tonight as we do this. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So if I'm going to put this much importance on the Word of God, it's very important that they see it. What I usually do is I slide my Bible right across and I let them read it. If they don't have one, I let them use mine and I look on. And I say, and I let them read it. It needs to come out of their lips. It needs to go through their brain and be processed through their eyes. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not my words, the Word of God. So they'll read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then I said, so according to the Word of God, this is who started it all right here for us. But why did God make me? I'll ask him, why are you here? And I'll tell them this. I said, honestly, if I'm here to live life like we have to live life, to work like we have to work, to struggle like we have to struggle, no thank you. I'd rather not. And most will agree with that. Why do we do this? Why are we here? Why do we work ourselves to the bone for all these years only to get to the end and only barely enjoy it because Uncle Sam has taken out so much by the time we get to that far? There ain't nothing left. I mean, think about that. Why are you here? And it causes them to think. Then I take them to verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image. Side note, very interesting. You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit right here at Genesis 1. Let us, it says. He doesn't say let me. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, he says. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over the every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, I don't get into a lot of detail. It's like when you're dealing with somebody that you're leading to Christ, don't go too deep. You've been saved 40 years. They haven't yet. Don't use big words. Don't use Christianese. Use something that they can relate to. And so, you know, it's like a rock skipping across water, and you're only going to touch the very important items that you want them to see. So God created man in his own image. And so they're with you. They're like, yeah, okay. And then something interesting happens. In chapter 2 and verse 8. So then God creates man, and then he places them in a garden, right? Verse 8 of chapter 2. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So he places man. He actually made this place just for man. And then he saw that he was lonely, and he makes a wife for him. And I'm telling, most know this story. Most know this story. Now we're getting into a day where they may not. And you may want to get into some details, but don't get into too many details, right? So he takes them and he puts them, and then look at verse 16. I said, something interesting happens. God places them in this garden, and then he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They're reading it, and then I ask them, what happens if they eat of that tree? And they said, well, they're going to die. Yeah, that's what God said. Interesting. So then I said, let's go to chapter 3. Something very interesting starts to happen here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman, and I have him read all the way to verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And I'll ask them. So, and I'll just paraphrase. So Satan shows up and he says, did God say that you can't eat of that tree? And Eve says, yeah, God says we can't eat of that tree. And Satan says, nah, that's not true. That's not true. Listen, God just doesn't want you to be as smart as he, as knowledgeable as he. He didn't want you to be like, that's why he's keeping something from you. And Eve goes, really? And so you say, well, Brother Dan, that's not right to do. Hey, we're bringing this down to the person that doesn't know Christianese. We're bringing it to their level. Because they can relate to this. Hey, somebody's keeping something from me. And so what happens next? They're reading, right? So they go down to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she takes of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And I stop right there. So she takes, she grabs it, and she eats it. Now what did God say in chapter 2 in verse 16. What did he say was going to happen if they ate of that tree? And you answer, they're going to what? They're going to die, right? Let's find out what happens. So we read the next verse. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were... And I go, wait a minute. I thought God said that they were going to die. And you might be thinking the same thing. Well, he did, didn't he? Yeah, but they didn't die. And I pause for effect. And they're thinking. Almost 99% of the time, they will tell me. They will tell me. Well, they died spiritually. I had never had, before I started doing this, I never had people tell me that before. Use those terms. Well, they died spiritually. And it's like the Holy Spirit causes a light bulb to come on in their brain. Because it's obvious that they continue to live physically. And I said, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Because the Bible talks about two deaths. And that's where I interject this. Now, all this may not be in your notes. It may be you can scribble whatever you need to scribble in order to keep notes or just remember it however you want. But I'll tell them this. I'll say, you're right. The Bible talks about two deaths. It talks about physical death. That's a death that we all experience here on this. But then it talks about another death, and that is the spiritual death. You're right. They died spiritually. And I'll tell them, we won't take the time to go into all this, but if you start reading from here on down, the Lord shows up and he says, Adam, where are you? And I just kind of paraphrase. I don't read all this because if you're going to do this and you're going to do it right, it's going to take you a minimum of an hour to an hour and a half to calmly work your way through. And it's not that complicated. When you look at that time, most of it is you're just allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their heart. It's not a drive-through at PALS. It's not. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to them. Because if they say a prayer and they don't believe, personally, I'm not talking about you, but personally, I would feel that that's on my hands. If they go through life thinking that they're saved and their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life because they didn't believe, they just repeated a prayer to get me off their back. I don't want that on my hands. So I tell them, I said, sure enough, they died spiritually. Now, I kind of skip past all this, but there's a progression here. When God made you, when God made Adam and Eve, he also made them with something that you and I both have, and that is a will. A will. I said, if not, he would not have been God. He would have been a dictator. And we would have been these little robots running around doing whatever he created us to do. Are you getting the picture? That's why it was important. You say, well, why is that important? Because forced love is not love. Forced love is not love. God doesn't want to create something that's automatic. I mean, what fun is that? Would you want a spouse that's that way? That they have to love you because God cauterized their brain and their heart, and all they can think is that you're it. You're where it's at. You're better than cotton candy. How much fun would that be? That's no fun. You want it to be that they've chosen to love you. And they continually choose to love you, right? Your spouse, that's what you want. I choose my spouse, and I'll choose another 30 years. I'll sign up for another 30 because I love her. And I love her that much that I'd do it again and twice on Sunday. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Now, we have a free will. That's important. And with that free will, they chose to disobey God. And with their will, they chose to disobey God. Now, what follows next alters the course of mankind. And that's where you read chapter 3. Then you paraphrase. And then I get down. Okay, so when you're done here and you get to this point, this is where I springboard. And I hope I didn't get ahead of myself. But from right there, when their eyes were open, they both were naked, that person recognizes that they died spiritually. I immediately take them to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And now we're in familiar territory for most of us that were raised on using the Romans road, right? So I take them to Romans 5:12. But isn't this cool because it makes sense? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Their brain automatically goes back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And it makes sense to them now. It all ties together. And we've spanned all that part in the Bible. We've gone from Genesis 1 to Romans. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So I'll tell them this. I said, so sin entered into the world. Man, with his own will, chooses to disobey God. Sin enters into the world. But something else enters into the world. Let's read that verse again. Not only sin, and death by sin. So sin enters the world, but then also death enters into the world. What kind of death, class? Spiritual death. Bing, light bulb moment. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned, they died spiritually, and that death, that spiritual death, the Bible says right here in verse 12, and so death, what kind of death? Spiritual death, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? So when Adam's kids were born, were they born? Now they were born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And this is how I talk to to whoever I'm speaking to. Spiritually, dead. And so it's clicking, right? And then what about their children? When they were born spiritually dead. And you? So, you see where this is a little bit different, where you say, you're a sinner, right? Well, I was like, what's this guy's problem? What you've done is you've gone from Genesis 1 and you've showed them why God created man. God created man. He places him in a perfect garden. He places him in a perfect environment because he just wanted to have a relationship. He comes down every day to talk with man. That one day he comes down to do the same that he had done every day. But this time it was different because man had disobeyed him. And all of a sudden there's a separation. There's a separation. There's a distance. And that death has passed upon all men. That explains to them, and this is what I tell them. You tell them whatever, you know, however you feel is necessary. But I said, you ever wondered why in your life? Now, this is somebody without Christ. You ever wondered why in your life that every time you try to do good, it's difficult? And every time you want to do evil, it's easy? You ever wondered why in life you try to get ahead? You try to be better. You try to live better. You try to treat better. You try to do all these things, and it just seems like you're just butting up against that wall. They're relating. This is it. This is the answer. This is the answer. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So when you were born spiritually, and they'll tell me, spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23, they're reading these verses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we explain that verse by saying, all have sinned. You were born with that sin nature. You're born spiritually dead. You come short of God's glory. Because you're spiritually dead, God is a thrice holy God. There's that separation. And I'll talk to them about, hey, listen, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they no longer could stay there. They got tossed out of the garden. And most of them know the story. They'll tell me, yeah, there was an angel that was placed in the, you know, in front of that garden. They weren't allowed back in there. Yeah, there was a separation. God no longer. I said, and that was the saddest part of this whole story, is the fact that God no longer came from heaven to earth to commune with man every day. That's the worst part of the whole story. So it's not about life, it's not about death insurance. It's not about hell insurance. It's about the most tragic thing that's ever happened in their life is the fact that they were born separated from a God that loved them so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for their sin. So then I'll read 23, which says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then immediately, just like we do on the Romans road, chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So I'll ask them, where is that death? That spiritual death, where does it end up? Because someday we're going to die physically, right? And they're with me. They're going to die physically. So where's that spiritual death? And they'll go, well, I don't know. May I show you? Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and what is it? Somebody help me. And sorcerers and the whoremongers. I know it in Spanish, not in English. Here we go. And all, what? Say it. Verse 8, all liars. Let's read it right. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And I'll say, now, Brother Dan, I'm not none of that. I said, I'm using some big words here because, especially in Spanish, they're even bigger yet. You say, well, I'm none of those things. And I said, look what it says here. And all liars. Have you told a lie? Well, yeah. Well, that's you. That's all of us. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the what? It's that second death. That's spiritual death. So I'll ask him right now, if you were to die today, spiritually dead, separated from God, where would your soul go? According to the Bible. And they squirm. They don't like to admit it. I wouldn't either. It's very uncomfortable, but that's okay. It's okay if they get to this point. They have to get to this point. They have to feel uncomfortable. And once they say, now, as I'm talking, I'm going along because for sake of time, as if everybody's with me or the individual's with me and we're working together on this and they get it and it's clicking and the Holy Spirit is illuminating and they're grasping all of this. So they said, I would go to hell. I said, that's a problem. And they're like, yeah, I know. That's a problem. But I said, that's the bad news. Now here's the good news. This is the best part. Romans chapter 6. Second part. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, way back in the Garden of Eden when man disobeyed God and they were separated, sin separated man from God. God still loves man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sends his Son. He sends him and he humbles himself. And you may even read those verses in the New Testament. Philippians or that talks about where, or Ephesians, where it talks about he humbles himself and takes the form of man. And in humbling himself, that led to his death. But he enters the world as we do. He's born as we're born. And when I'm in Mexico, I use this phrase, or if you're dealing with someone that was raised Catholic, you may say this. He was born through a little virgin called Mary. Because that's exactly who she was. God chose that on purpose. You say, well, Brother Dan, that's deceptive. No, that's gospel truth right there. He chose to enter the earth that way. He was raised and he grew up. And then when he was about 30 years old, he started his ministry. He had ministry for about a little over three years. And then they crucified him. Why? They crucified him not for something that he had done, but he had planned to do this. God, his Father, wanted Christ to do that so that he could pay the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And what is that? Perfect blood shed. All of it. On the cross. There was no way in the world, you and I, and there's no way in the world, there hasn't been another man or woman born on this earth, except for Christ, that had perfect blood. And it makes sense. It's clicking. He paid so that you don't have to pay. He paid the ultimate price. What he would like is for you to accept the gift of eternal life. And that gift is in his Son. Is that something that you would like to do? Restoring that relationship with the God that initially made man to have a relationship with? Would you love to do that? Duh. Could have had a V8, right? I mean, it makes sense. Why would I not do that? Why would I not? To someone that loves me so much. And that's where we go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Did I say, yes, chapter 10 and verse 9. For with the heart man believeth. This is what you need to do. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is that not correct? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I skipped 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. That's why I was getting a look back there. I'm like, what did I say? And I was, verse 9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. Why does it specifically say the Lord Jesus? Does anybody know? Why does it not just say Jesus? In Spanish it says, si confesares con tu boca que Jesús es Señor. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he's God. Because there's a lot of religions out there that they believe that Jesus was a good man, right? They believe that he was a prophet, many do, that he was a good prophet. But they deny the fact that he was actually God. It says right here in this verse, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning Christ is God, and you believe in your heart that what? That he hath what? Raised him from the dead. That's another very key factor. Thou shalt be what? Saved. Very interesting. Now I'm getting some weird looks. Holler at me if there's something that we're not explaining here. Is it all good? We getting it? Okay. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as believed him, to them gave he what? The power to become what? The sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Okay? That's how you're saved. Belief. Is it a fancy prayer? No. Now, I do lead them in a prayer. And I'll explain that briefly here in just a moment as we finish. I do lead them in a prayer. But it's not a fancy prayer. How do you know that? Thief on the cross. Boom. One of them was half mocking, half, hey, why are we here? Hey, if you're the Son of God, like you say you are, then get us down from here. And the other one said, what are you doing? We're getting what we deserve. This man has done no wrong. And then he turns to Christ and he says, will you remember me today when you're in paradise? And what does Christ tell him? Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Does he not say that? Is that not in fact the truth? Did he pray a prayer? No. But the God of all gods that knows every heart knew that he believed that he was the Son of God. He trusted in him and he said, you're going to be with me today in paradise. That's what the Bible says. So, that individual says, so I'll say, Would you like to do that? Would you like to receive Christ as your personal Savior? Would you like to restore that relationship with the God that loved you so much that even after Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden and death passed upon all men so that you were born spiritually dead, he made a way in sending his own Son to pay the price for your sin on the cross. Would you like to receive him into your heart? And become one of his children today. Yes. Now most don't know what to pray. That's normal. We pray all the time. But I dare say that even in our church, if pastor were to ask somebody just off the cuff, hey, will you pray for me? Will you pray for the services? We would get real nervous, right? Most don't know what to say. Is it okay to help them? I used to run from that. It used to scare me to death. It doesn't scare me anymore. I've included it in there. I'll say, if you'll pray with me, these words. But it's not the prayer. The words that I'm going to use are not magical words. It has to come from your heart. Because from your heart, you're asking God to do something. And it has to come from your lips. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, I have them pray aloud. With thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. And so they'll pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you for being born, for living, for dying, and for raising up again on the third day. Now, I'm not using the right terms because I normally say this in Spanish and it's so natural for me. I'm trying to translate my brain. I receive you into my heart as my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord. And then I'll take them right back to John 1:12 that we just read right before they prayed. And every single time their eyes light up. Because once someone has done that and they've put their faith and their trust in Christ, all of a sudden the words of God, the Word of God, comes alive. And their countenance changes. And I said, now read that verse again for me. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, even to them that believed on his name. I said, so according to this verse, what are you now? And they'll say, a child of God? And I said, congratulations. Welcome to the family. And just the countenance changes. The countenance changes. I live for that. That's my fuel. That's my fuel. If you've never done that, now many of you have had the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, and maybe it didn't go like that, right? But, you know, you've had it happen, and you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't had it happen yet, you've been around when it's happened, you can experience this. You can experience this. In fact, I'm going to put myself out on the limb with you. If you want to set up the appointment and invite me to come along, I'd be more than happy to come with you and be part of this, right? It's so fun. And then I immediately take them. I said, now, John 1:12 says, as many believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You're a child of God. I'll immediately take them to John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, period. Does it not? And shall not come into condemnation, but hath passed from death unto life. You were dead, spiritually dead. See how it all ties together? And now you have life eternal. And if you ask them, you don't have to feed them the words, but if you ask them, if you were to die right now, where would your soul go? And they'd say, eternal life. That's exactly right. John 10, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't that awesome? And then I'll do this. I'd have to look at it, but you know the drift, you get the drift, where it says in John 10, where it says that he places you in his hand, and then the Father takes his hand and he covers you as well. And he says in verse 30, my Father and I are one. You're doubly protected. I always tell them that. You say, well, Brother Dan, do I need to get into, you know, they don't need to sin anymore and then they need to quit smoking and quit chewing and all that good stuff right there. No, I don't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And if they got the goods, he does a great job without our help in taking care of that business. Okay? That's not the time. They just got saved. They just became a child of God. Okay? So, I know that's cramming a lot into a short amount of time, but that is briefly. The big thing for me was starting in Genesis and showing them there was a broke relationship. And then when you get to the end, you've restored that relationship with the God that created them to have fellowship with. Do we cover hell? Yes. For those of us that like to rub, you know, like to run them over the flames of hell and let them feel it for a little bit. We do cover hell. Okay? But I'm not concentrated. They feel, the Holy Spirit does a good enough job without me trying to make them squirm and feel uncomfortable. In fact, this whole time, the fact that they're even talking to you is because they know something is not right. Okay? Sorry, I didn't. That was extra. I didn't mean to get off on that tangent. But just let's pray tonight and let's ask God this. If you haven't or you haven't in a long time, I would love for you to experience this. This is what we were put on this earth for. This is why we were saved. We were saved to reach others and to show the love of God and to have fellowship with the Father. And I love it. This is not a duty, and it ceases. The whole thing, I mean, we've been 4 weeks in getting up to this point. The whole thing is not dreading it. It's looking, anxiously looking for that opportunity. Who do I get to talk to next? Who do I get to share this with? Because the Holy Spirit has gone before me. It's exciting. It's fun. I love that for you. Let's pray that God allows us in the next few days to have that opportunity. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for a restored relationship with the God of the universe. I know you did it for love. But I still sometimes wonder why. Why us? Why mankind? And why the second chance when man disobeyed in the Garden of Eden, and yet you loved us so much that you chose to make a way to restore it again. Thank you, Father. Please help us to be aware of our Holy Spirit, aware of our surroundings, of those people around us that are hurting, that are needing to hear this. They need that restored relationship so that they can experience life, physical life, because of spiritual life like we experience, Lord. And I pray for those of us that are here tonight that perhaps haven't had the opportunity of doing this, or maybe it's been a long time since we've had the opportunity. Father, please send someone their way. And Lord, I pray that you would be with them, and that may they be able to taste the goodness of God in salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. Appreciate your attention. Thank you.
so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare and flaring steam gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. And